Good morning, and in this Holy Week, welcome to our Wednesday Chapel. Today we will be using the Office of Prime, Little Order of Service, beginning on page 108 in the front part of your hymn book, page 108. Please join me there in the versicles, Gloria Patri and Confession of Sin. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault, in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. Scripture reading for our meditation today is the standard epistle for this past Palm Sunday. It is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, beginning with verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Crimes against humanity. The first time that term was ever used in print, crimes against humanity, was by a writer in Europe who was describing what had happened during the career of King Leopold II of Belgium. King Leopold II of Belgium was a ruthless man, and in the late 1800s, he sent soldiers down into Africa, into the African Congo, to basically take over the country as if it was his own property, and to exploit then the Congolese people, many of them put into what we might say is slavery, in order to get ivory from their country and rubber and also some expensive precious metals. And the way he worked among the people through his henchmen was that if things weren't going well enough, if he wasn't getting back enough production out of the people, he would actually send his people into, his men in, to cut off the hands of workers as a threat. And he even did this to little children. And during this colonization, it's estimated that anywhere between 5 and 10 million people died, all due to his evil selfishness. It was so bad that even the people who benefited from all of this back in Belgium, at his funeral procession, as his body was brought through the streets of Antwerp, that the people lined the streets and booed as he went by. If you check your news feed today and look at some of the news stories that come up, and really think about it, selfishness and self-centeredness is at the root of almost all of the stories. There are certainly some calamities like the bridge collapse that maybe that's not the case, but the vast majority of stories, if you really dig down into it, that's often at the core. Selfishness is like a motivating engine inside of us that is just churning away, and it affects so many different things in our world. It's why you have to have fobs on your keychain. It's why you have to have passwords. It's why we lock everything. It's why we see viral videos of Black Friday fights in Target. It's at the root of all the conflicts between parents and children inside of marriages. It's the cause of all divorces. It's the reason why we have courts and lawyers and contracts. It's the reason why someday you're going to have a will drawn up in order to make sure that everything is handed out fairly the way you want it. And the reason for all of that, and I could go on, is because of this basic sinful impulse inside of all of us. What is best for me? What do I want? How am I going to benefit from something? Now, here's the interesting thing. If you've ever had somebody do something really nice for you, unexpected, that they didn't want anything back for, if somebody really showed you true selflessness and did something very kind for you, think how deeply you appreciated that, how nice and how wonderful that is. And at the same time, how hard it is for us to ever do that for others. I know it sure is for me. Egocentricity starts very young in us. Our parents had to root this out in us when we were little kids just to make sure that we wouldn't end up in prison someday, to try to make sure that we learn how to get along with other people, because they knew, just like my parents did and I as a parent, we know that this is the central problem inside of humanity. And even now as an adult, I have learned the social norms to keep myself from acting too selfishly, but it's still there. I have to push that urge down inside of me so I don't look like a selfish jerk. And my first impulse is often, well, what's best for me? What can I get out of this? I want what I want first. What a striking difference we see between our sinful hearts in this matter and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that St. Paul is displaying for us in our text. He says, though being in the form of God, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It's really hard for us to even come close to imagining the depth of this humiliation. To be God, we can never comprehend what that's like. To be God and to become one of your own creatures, and then on top of that, when you come to this earth, to be treated the way our Lord was treated and ultimately crucified like a criminal and stuck into a cold grave, it's really hard for us to in any way kind of grasp the level of humiliation that has taken place with our Lord. And I think when we finally get to heaven by faith in him and because of what he's done for us, how much deeper and stronger our appreciation of what this humiliation really was when we get to see his glory in heaven and then realize, my goodness, he gave all of this up to be able to come down and even to feel my hell, even to let the wrath of all of God's anger against my selfishness and yours rest on him and drive him down into the heat and the fires of hell. When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? To think of the depth of that humiliation is going to overwhelm us when we get to heaven. And ultimately, what was the motivation in his heart? It was your welfare. It was to make sure that you and I someday would get out of our graves and get to enjoy that beautiful home that he set aside in order for us to finally come and join him there at some point. He understood that you and I were in a very tough situation. And that is that the very righteousness we need to get into that home of heaven, not a single one of us has, because of not just that selfishness, but all the other sins that we commit as well. And he knew that that had to be atoned for. And the only way it could be done is through blood. And it had to be the blood of God himself that would come to take that on himself. He knew that the only way that you would ever get to enjoy the feast of heaven is if he intervened, if he got involved in the process. And that's why he rode into Jerusalem so willingly, knowing what was coming in the days ahead, just riding along and going along in this whole plan that had been laid out by God the Father that would ultimately drive him to the cross and to feel the depths of hell. That was all being done because of you and me. He loved us so much, he didn't want us to have to feel any of that. And he wanted us to enjoy heaven someday. So St. Paul says that he wants this same mind to be in us. So how will this impact your life? As somebody who's benefited from this, as somebody who in the future is going to see how amazing this is that Christ has done this for you, how will this now impact your life? How should this same way of thinking impact how we look at other people? Paul says, let this mind that Christ had, that was in Christ, also be in you. So whatever you do with your life, whatever your calling is going to be in life, whatever you're planning to do and your dreams and your hopes, whether you're going to be a mom or a dad or a husband and wife and a worker for somebody, start your own business, whatever it's going to be, find the portion of your calling in all of these vocations. Find the portion of your calling in life that serves other people, that puts other people ahead of yourself. Find that inside of whatever job or whatever calling you're looking at. Find that part of it and make that the thing that motivates you. Make that the thing that drives you. Make that the engine in your life. In the same way that that was the engine that brought the Son of God to earth in order to make sure you get to go to heaven. Because when you do that, a couple things happen. One is you represent the cross to people. You represent Christ to people when you have this same mind. It's a beautiful little reflection of the gospel when you treat people that way. But you're also going to find that there's a tremendous sense of satisfaction that comes back, that God blesses you back with that. When you put others first and do things for them first instead of yourself, motivated by how God has done that for you, there will be a tremendous blessing that comes back. St. Paul said to the Ephesian pastors, "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive." And we certainly know what it means to receive the blessings that our Savior has given us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join me in the responsory on the bottom of page 108 in the front of your hymn book, the responsory, and let us rise. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Arise, O Christ, and help us, and deliver us for your name's sake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen.